Hi, I'm Kurt Bruner. Welcome to Home Point. We are approaching the summer season, the summer 120-day window when we invite everyone to create their intentionality plan. How do you plan to become more intentional during these next few months than you've perhaps been in the past few months about building a strong marriage, about passing faith to your children or grandchildren, and perhaps navigating some life season that's on the horizon? But for this audio edition, I thought it'd be fun to invite you into a little discussion, a group of folks who are brainstorming their own thoughts on how to navigate the summer season. So you slip into my office and listen to the conversation. Let me tell you who you'll hear from. My wife, Olivia. She and I have four children, ages 17 down to 7. You'll hear from Marcia Stroop, who is the wife of senior pastor Steve Stroop. She talks about when she had younger children and how she became more intentional during the summer months and some things that grandparents can do now. She's in that season. You'll hear from Mason and Lydia Randall. They are a young couple, do not have children, talking about how to be intentional in the arena of marriage. You'll hear from Grant Windall. He is a husband and a father. He's a member of the Home Point team. Share some ideas. As well as Amy Mooney, who is a single mom of two, and talks a bit about the challenges and yet how to be creative when that's your situation.
We used to have a pastor who would say from the pulpit at the end of every summer, the Sunday before summer break was over, he would say to everyone, "Okay, guys, summer's over, school's starting next week." And all the kids said, "Oh," and all the parents said, "Yes, amen," you know. And I remember thinking, now wait a minute, don't put that attitude in my head. Because actually, I just had the best time with my kids that I have ever had. Because I had more time with them, less stress, less schedule. Mm-hmm. And that's the time that parents have, you know, the most opportunity to just enjoy their kids and pass their faith down to their kids and all the different, you know, goals that we have as parents.
All right, now, Marcia, you, of course, being a senior pastor's wife, I know the only fun things you do is, like, read the Bible together and fast and pray, right? Those are the things you did for fun every summer. Mm-hmm. Anything else, though? I mean, for us normal people, any other things that...
Well, I had a resource that I used, Sanity in the Summertime, mm-hmm. and I would read it in the spring to get ready for summer, and looked at the summer as 90 days of purposeful mm-hmm. things that I would do.
Oh, that's great.
And so I would look at each child individually and try to figure out what was their need. Was it an academic need? Was it a social need? Was it a organizational skills, I mean, whatever. And I would plan the summer, the 90 days, not waste the 90 days, but make the 90 days purposeful to where every week we would work on that activity, work on that thing.
Okay, so give a specific example. Take Lydia.
Lydia, for example.
By the way, yeah. Sitting here.
Right. She,
we want confirmation that this actually happened.
She was very shy. So one year we were working on her being able to speak out, and so she loved wildflowers. So we searched all summer for wildflowers. We got books about it. We went and picked them. We learned all we could about them, and then she would give a report back to the family, a written report, at dinner time, and she would just read it to us. And this just got her used to. It was about the wildflowers.
Oh, interesting.
And
so
it got her used to saying, you know, speaking out loud and mm-hmm. hearing her voice. And then we were a good audience.
Yeah.
You know, we complimented
her. You didn't throw
her.
Tomatoes?
No.
Or
we yeah. She did really good.
Just once, and after that we were up. Okay.
But we did that once a week. You know, all week long she would get ready for her big report that she would do once a week.
Okay, so Lydia, let's hear that from your end.
I think it terrified me at first, but then it was fun. And it was fun because I knew my family was supportive and I knew it was a safe place. And I was able to, and I've overcome that now.
And then the next year.
Now we can't get her to stop.
When she went to school the next year, she entered in the UIL prose oral reading. And I was like, wow.
Well, let's give
it
a hand.
That is
thank you. transition to marriage. Okay, marriage. Right? We all, those of us who are married, are thinking, okay, summertime, I'm going to be exhausted because of this, that, or the other with the kids. But, Marcia, you talk about be intentional and plan out what you're going to do in the next 90 or 120 days or whatever the period is. We need to do the same thing on the marriage side of things. And what I'm excited about is here in the room is we have Mr. Romance. All right, Mason Randall is here. And this is the most romantic guy I've ever seen in my life. Not with me. I don't mean that. I mean...
Thank you for
coming. I can't for that.
Mason, you are intentional about being thoughtful with Lydia, your wife. And in fact, you have even a little thing like you call her on her cell phone and what happens on her cell phone. In fact, do that right now. Call her cell phone.
Hey, babe, it's me. It's your husband. I'm calling you. I'm calling you to say how much I love you. I want to talk to you.
Now, if you could see the look on Lydia's face right now, every time we're in a meeting or something and then that little voice comes on with romantic Mason saying, I'm calling you, I love you, I want to talk to you, she just melts right there. We can't get anything done in our meeting. But it's a great little thing. At some point, you thought, hey, I'm going to go record a different ring on her cell phone, right? So talk to me about, well, for us mortals who aren't romance gods like you are, Mason, what are some ideas and things you do practically?
You know, practically, I think that the easy, simple things sometimes seem to be the best things. That it's hard for me to plan big, massive things, but I know I can do simple, easy notes. I know I can do even small text messages. I know I can do little things around the house that let her know and see all the time that I'm thinking about her, that I care about her, that I want to serve her, that I love her very much, and that she's on my mind. So the little things that I do seem to be what I get the feedback the most from Lydia as valuable and important to her. The big things are meaningful and special, but it's the continual small things that she seems to appreciate the most.
Do you put on the calendar that it's time to, how do you make sure it happens?
You know, I plan some. I've got. I think the most important thing for me is I've got some men who hold me accountable, and we've decided as a group of guys that we're going to strive to become the most romantic men we can be towards our wives. So we challenge each other, we encourage each other, we share ideas together, we ask each other questions, and even in our conversations, it allows us to think of new ideas. And when I think of a new idea, I don't just leave it as an idea in my head. I will write it down, and I will put it on a list of, I want to get to this at some point. Okay. So, and there's sometimes where I'll sit down with my planning list, and I'll add new ideas to that, and I'll look through my list and decide, you know what, it's time to do this one or that one, or it's time to prepare to do this one a couple weeks down the road.
Well, now, okay, so that's a great idea. So you actually have guys who get together and brainstorm these things or share ideas?
I would not say we set an appointment to brainstorm, but maybe it's a friend that I'll work out with. Hmm. And we'll challenge each other and I'll ask the question, how are you doing loving your wife, and how are you doing showing your wife you love her? And what have you done lately to show her you love her? And that will spark the conversation of what that individual has done, and it will also bring up the conversation of what we can do more of as husbands to better love our wives or to show our wives how much we love them. One of the things that we dreamt up together, one of the goals of BHAG that we threw out there, a big, hairy, audacious goal, was that we wanted to have more fun than any other couple we knew. So that allowed us to sit down and create a list of things that we enjoy together, things that we want to learn to enjoy, things that we want to experience together, even things like a cooking class, which we've never done. We don't know that will be fun. But that was
won't be fun, I guarantee.
But the experience of trying it
sounds
together,
very romantic.
Yeah,
but I think fighting the culture of just coming home and sitting in front of the TV and turning it on and not connecting, not having times where we're growing and continuing to connect and make new memories together, things like that, where we didn't want to just go into the routine of what we saw a lot of our friends and other people fall into the routine of. That was easy to do when you get home from work and you're tired and you both just want to sit there. But just saying, okay, for us, we have a date night every Monday night. I mean, it's on the calendar. If there's something that comes up, it gets moved to a different night. But every week, we will have a date night. And that's
and that's just built into your schedule, built into your plan.
It's automatic.
Which actually would force, I would think that would force, now I've got to think of something that we're going to do together or refer back to the list you created. Is that how it works?
That's how it works. And it's, I find myself, if I am not ahead of the game, I'll find myself on Monday afternoon or the day of our date night scrambling, going, oh, what are we going to do? But I've found in just my desire to be organized and my desire to not be last minute, it's better for me to sit and plan and think of things a couple weeks ahead of time.
Now, what's interesting is the theme here, both on the parenting side, springtime, Marcia talks about springtime. I plan out specifically what am I going to do this summer, just one or two things for each child. The same is true here on the date night and on the romance side. You actually are being proactive. Because otherwise, in both categories, right, we slip into, as you said, Lydia, watching the TV or, you know, just those patterns that are, you know, kind of a pattern of almost apathy and despondency and, you know, whatever what happens, happens. And in both cases, you're being intentional, which is really cool.
One aspect we can't, I love the intentionality, but you can't forget one of the things that our kids love to see is they'll whisper in my ear, Dad, go pick Mom up. You know, and she hates it, and she squeals. And but
you mean physically pick her up.
Physically pick her up and lift her high into there, and the kids all laugh, and, you know, they're rolling on the floor because she's screaming. And but so the planning's a must, but then also don't get into mundane.
Well, so you don't put on the calendar, pick up Kay at 5 o'clock on Thursday.
You could.
Yeah. See, I would need to. Olivia will tell you, I would need to, or it won't happen, because if I don't plan it. Enough. But both are appropriate, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. no, if you're a planner, then mm-hmm. plan and use your skills that way. If you're spontaneous, be spontaneous. Amy, when we talk about summer or breaks, or Amy, you're being in a single parent situation where you then have the back and forth with their dad and so forth. The dynamics are going to be very different, mm-hmm. but are the principles the same?
I try to come up with ideas, and scheduling and financial are the biggest barriers, but there's a lot that you can do. You just have to seek out what's free, what's, mm-hmm. you know, there's so much to do, or just simple things. It doesn't have to be a big hurrah. It can be picnics and camping in your backyard. Like this year, we're going to do a lot of cooking in the summer. I want both my kids to know how to take care of a home. And
you're going to teach them to cook?
Oh, both of them.
Well,
I especially want my son to cook. I don't want him to fall for the first pretty thing because she can cook. So he has got to be able to do everything and say, no, you got to be able to do more than that to cook and clean, because I can cook and clean. So I want him to be able to do that. But
and that's free. I mean, really.
It's free.
Anyway.
It is.
So gather around, let's all cook together or barbecue together,
right.
And you're teaching them. That's experience.
And I think it's good if they're teens, they can do it. I may say, honey, can you cook tonight? And they should really feel like, I'm important. I'm doing this for the family.
And then I think how you can cash in on that during the rest of the year.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
They learn to fix one good thing. Mm-hmm. You just learn mm-hmm. to fix one good thing. And Tuesday night, you're fixing that every Tuesday night.
Right.
I
like to cook. I'm kidding.
That's what we did. And each of us had a night mm-hmm. that we cooked. Mm-hmm. And I was so thankful when I went to college. Because none of my friends knew how to cook, and I did. And I only had my one meal that I cooked, but I cooked that one meal for my apartment, you know. But
Another thing I really love to do in the summer, and the kids, especially my son, because he's younger, and is still with a class. Now, when they're older and they're in high school, they're in many different classes. But when they're younger, they're with their little group, and they stay with that group. And year after year, for the past three summers, I plan things for the group all summer. Mm-hmm. I mean, different things for them to do. And they're so excited at the end of the school year. They say, Manny, what are we going to do this summer? And we're going, you know, skating this week and water park the next week and laser tag. And everybody can't make everything. But I want them to have that time as a group to be closer. I think they'll watch each other's backs more in school, and they'll just be kinder
and you're
to each other. Oh, I'm always the room mom, but I carry it through the summer. I'm not just room mom during the school year.
Now, how do your kids react to that? Are you
they
like
love
the coolest
it.
Mom ever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll say that. Yeah. But I want it's for them, and I want their relationships to be really strong. And their schedules at school are so tight, and even PE, it just gets whittled down to nothing. Their free time, that their relationships kind of suffer.
Well, and again, back to being in a culture that emphasizes television, video games, and falling into those patterns. Those aren't real relationships, and they're not building relational skills. And really, even though that's what kids seem like they want to do when you first push. Mm-hmm. They really get bored with those things pretty quickly. Yeah. They keep doing them, but they're really bored with them. You don't see that passion and energy. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you have, like, Amy, the coolest mom around, planning things that are real-life stuff, again, but that's intentionality, right? You plan that before the
season. Oh, yeah, they have a schedule at the beginning of the summer. Mm-hmm. And everybody can't make everything, but we really try to work around vacations as much as we can so they won't miss.
There's so many ideas out there. You can go to a library and get these books. You don't have to pay for them. Mm-hmm. And Lake Point has such a great library, here, too, for that kind of thing. And so even to be intentional about, I think it's important that you do have a little quiet time because otherwise, as a mom or a dad, you do kind of have a nervous breakdown because you're thinking it's all day talking. And so what we would do is we'd say, okay, there's going to be two or three times a week where you guys are going to listen to Narnia in your room for an hour.
Explain what you mean by listen to Narnia.
You're going to listen to a radio theater or a book on tape, whatever you like. We love radio theater because it's actually drama. It's the story's dramatized. And so they're 3 hours long each, and there's seven of them. So that's 21 hours. Well, that's a lot of quiet time for mom, and it's not a video game, and it's not a television set, television show. And so we would say, because moms do need a little bit of your own time or else you will get overwhelmed and tired. So either you could listen to them, with them, either you could listen with them, and then that's still down quiet time, or you could say, this is the time you guys are going to go in your room and listen to 45 minutes of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And then you can go take a little break or read a book or, just sit on the porch if you need a moment, because it can be a little harried.
Well, I should say that in May, the next Disney release of one of the Narnia films is happening right about the time we're calling people to plan. And so we're coming up with some ideas we want people to explore of how to turn this summer into a summer of Narnia, because C.S. Lewis's faith was so profoundly expressed in those stories. And I'm surprised how many people haven't experienced them. And I think they're absolutely essential for awakening the imagination of our children, falling in love with Jesus all over again. Marcia, you represent the grandparent segment here and do so very well. Thoughts on intentionality for grandparents?
Well, I've always wanted to do a camp Mimi and Papa, but I have not done that yet. But what we do is on every Thursday, we keep the grandkids, and so we have them all night until the next day. So we plan activities for them, with them.
It's interesting. Unlike the prior generation of grandparents that were really engaged with their grandchildren, you find that this generation of grandparents disengages to a large degree. They may even live in a different place. Maybe they're not intentionally disengaging, but they don't feel as connected with their grandchildren. Yours all live here in the area.
Yes.
So there's really...
That's an advantage.
That's an advantage, but there's also, if yours live in the area, there's really no excuse for not engaging with them, other than maybe,
that's
I just want to be left alone.
And there's things you can do if they live far apart, You can do the writing letters thing, And my daughter, Rachel, grandparents live in San Antonio. So she periodically will take those pictures that the kids draw. They draw a jillion pictures, and you get just this big wad of them. And she takes them and puts them in an envelope and sends them to the other grandparents.
Oh,
what's she going to do with them? She's already got the refrigerator covered, and she's got
no more
books full. But she sends it to them, and she sends them photos, of something that happened. They missed St. Patrick's Day hats they were wearing or something, and sends pictures. So, that's a way to keep them connected, too.
Yeah.
When Kyle was little, he was making a Father's Day card for Kurt, and he decided to do the top five men in my life. So that was interesting. And number one was God. So he's
man.
Guess you're wondering. That was interesting. Number two was dad. But I thought was interesting is number three was Grandpa Bruner, who lives in Florida, and he hardly ever sees. But yet, he just because he, of the times he does see, there's an immediate connection. You don't even really have to see them as much as you think, because you already hold, as a grandparent, such a high place in their heart just because you are their grandfather or grandmother.
Which absolutely makes little things like write them a note huge in terms of the influence.
Kids love mail.
Yes, yeah. They do.
They love it.
That's very true.
And if they're teenagers, you can send a text message. If you can figure out how to use it, send a text message
or
email.
Yeah,
they love that.
Yeah, that's or just a a little dollar store junk thing, anything. They just they have this immediate connection to you, and they know that you're grandma, grandpa, and that you're more special. You're more special than the man down the street for sure, And I'm not sure why, but I know you are.
When Kyle was 16, we did a rite of passage type little thing dinner for him, where key men that had been an influence in his life came together, and we bowled with him. And did some crazy things bowling together. Went out for dinner, but then we had a more of a formal thing at the house where all the families were there, and we did a laying on of hands and praying for them, and I did a blessing prayer. But each of the men were invited to write a letter to Kyle about a given topic. So one was a man in his marriage, a man in his faith. Well, his grandpa Otis, who isn't his actual biological grandfather because Olivia's dad died when she was young, but he's kind of taken on that role, extending into his life. We flew him in from California because just his presence was so powerful. And let me tell you why. He only sees his grandpa Otis once a year, maybe once every two times a year at the most when he's in on business trips or whatever. Every single time he's in town, they have to go to breakfast together. He and the kids have to go to breakfast together, any place the kids choose. Usually that's McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And he takes them out. And he said to me at one point, he says, I'm doing this for one reason. And this is years ago. He said, I'm doing this because I'm earning the right now to speak into his life when he's older. Mm-hmm. And then him being at that rite of passage ceremony was such a powerful and important thing to Kyle, simply because they had those breakfasts together, and he just listened. And he didn't do anything dramatic about talking about the faith. He just was there relationally. And I think grandparents do underestimate just how powerful their influence can be. All right, last question, fast shot around the room. You've got one chance to give them one idea as people are creating their plan for the summer. What do you think they ought to try and do to put into their plan? Grant, we're going to start with you.
All right. I'd say I just encourage parents to pray over their children and for their children and address the specific needs, the challenges that they may be facing, and their frustrations, their worries. And
I could actually just write on my plan, pray for my children's
absolutely.
Challenges.
Yeah.
And that's being intentional right there. That's great. Amy, Supermom.
Okay. We, as a group, we talked about this the other day. We're going to decide on what we want to do volunteer-wise. So we haven't decided yet, but the three of us are going to decide where we want to put our time together.
Okay. And that's going to be part of your plan. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do this
mm-hmm.
summer. Good. Marcia? Why don't you do Camp Mimi this year?
I really want to, but I don't know how long the camp's going to be.
I'm
not
one
sure
hour
with
camp
my energy.
Plan.
Yeah, I might just have a little shorty. Camp Mimi might be on our Thursday nights for the night.
Yeah,
but if you call it Camp Mimi, it's going to be cool.
I know. Well, I want to have shirts, too.
Oh, that's
cool. Have them make the shirts with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good with the hands. Okay.
I work with a lot of teenagers, and the relationship at home between the parents or the parents and the teenager is not too good. And I have parents ask very often, what can I do just to get the relationship to look just a little bit better, to have better communication, to have even a little bit of time together? And a couple of the suggestions I would make is to create a couple times to get out of town together, to do some kind of day trip or a half-day trip. Maybe that's even just an hour drive somewhere to go to a different restaurant. Maybe that's to go to a certain location and go for a hike together. Maybe that's to go to a certain spot and go experience a drive-in movie or something. And a couple of suggestions for that time. I would encourage you as a parent to just ask a series of questions that are that revolve around your child. What are the things you've really liked this year? What are the things that you've really enjoyed experiencing? What are some things you feel like you've missed out on? What are some things you feel like you would like to change in? Or how would you like to see our relationship change over these next 12 months or 120 days to make it even a little bit simpler?
Mason, I think I'd like to ask you to give me about 20 questions. We'll put them on the blog, on the Home Point blog, mm-hmm. because someone might say, man, I really want to do that. I don't even know what to ask my child. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could give some guidance on that, and we could help them out that way, make it easy to do it. I can pick a restaurant, I can drive, okay, that I can do. Mm-hmm. But actually raise some mm-hmm. questions that are going to move this relationship forward. Give me some ideas on that. Why don't we help them that way?
Sounds good.
Louie?
Yeah, I would say my biggest advice wouldn't be actually an activity, but an attitude. I would say don't let yourself go into the summer resenting that you have to have all this time with your kids, but instead thank the Lord that you have this time with your kids and ask Him just for an attitude every day of, this is extra time that I get to influence my children and have fun with them that it will go away very quickly. And so instead, just look at this as, this is my job in the summer, is to be with my kids and be creative with my kids and teach them what I want to teach them, and just really watch every day your attitude of the time that you have with your kids in the summer.
So Lydia, what about on the marriage side of things?
One thing that we have done is go on a date night where all we did on that date night was brainstorm every fun thing that we thought that we could do together, things that we would enjoy doing with each other, new things that we wanted to try together. And that's part of the recipe card that is going to be out for the marriage date night ideas. And I would encourage everybody to plan a time to go out and then create your own. We ended up coming up with literally 4 pages of things that we thought, how much fun would it be? Random things, silly things, new things we'd try to do together. But this is a short list, but to come up with your own list and then maybe plan some creative ideas of putting the ideas in a jar, and then maybe just for that week you take turns and you just pull something out of the jar, and whatever's in the jar, that's what you go do immediately.
That's just a good idea.
Be creative and have fun.
So you never then hit date night and say, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do?
No.
Because you've got a list.
We have a list. And that way, because when you get to that moment, you draw a blank. When you get to the, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. There's a blank. But if you prepare a time where you come to the table and you just spend the whole time just dreaming and laughing and thinking of silly things to do together, it just keeps going on and on and on. You write those down, you type them up, and then it's always a go-to, that there's something that you can always do to creatively connect and have fun together.